This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 230. It's not going to be very long before we get to that legendary 5 years worth of podcasts. I don't know what I'm going to do for that, but I have several weeks to think about it. Because it's not until March. What to do? What to do? We'll figure something out. It's been a good week. Got a lot of good stuff done. Not quite as much as I wanted to get done with my major client, but that's all right. We're puttering along. We're making progress. Nothing is ever easy in technology. Nothing is ever easy. I'm going to turn on my air, which is not air conditioning, it's just air, but I am on the downside of it, so I think I am going to make it through the summer without fixing the air conditioning on my car. Woohoo! And I've gotten really good gas mileage all summer. Technology, you gotta love it. Nothing is ever easy. I was reminded of that this week when I was working through this new system that's going to be accepting credit card payments for ministers' dues that they owe the organization I work with. And we also send a receipt. This seems pretty straightforward. We just want a country field on it. Just tell us what country you're in. No problem. The problem comes because the credit card processors all use a standard of country names that was developed by the United Nations. Well, developed by an international standards organization, the ISO. So the ISO, I think it's the 3166, has a list of countries. The credit card processors use that list. But if you're going to mail something to somebody, you probably want to get the best rates you can, so you aren't going to use that list. You're going to use the list that the United States maintains of countries. And you say, how could that be different? Well, as it turns out, the United States looks at Puerto Rico and its other territories, and it looks at them as territories. And so they have their own state abbreviation and their own zip codes, and you can use those. And you can send things to them cheaper by doing that through the mail. Whereas the credit card companies all believe that Puerto Rico is its own country. So you actually have to maintain two different lists with two different abbreviations. You know, nothing is ever simple. So I worked through all that stuff this week. Got it all working. It's fine. It's great. Everything's fine. It's good. It's good. Anyways, what else? I am like one speech away from being done with having Amanda and the cog-shifting imp roughed in. So, it was good. I actually landed it, I don't know, Monday night, Sunday night. Went back Monday night, read through it, it was good. Got busy doing some other things Tuesday night. Was gonna work it on last night, get this one speech done. Tuesday night and Monday night, I worked a little bit on the epilogue, so I got the epilogue sort of roughed in. And then there's kind of a final speech that John Fartlebain gives before the book closes up. I'm still working on that. I haven't quite got my arms around that. I'm hoping to do some work on that this evening and kind of get that squared away so that tomorrow I can start my read-throughs and start editing. It's interesting, though, because I've sort of been trying to, the speech needs to encapsulate what everything I've been talking about for these three books in the Farforth Fables series. And specifically, I've said this before, I've been talking about convenience and certainty and control. Now there's a cost to all those things, and how they don't really get us what we'd like them to get us. And I came across a TED Talk that has pieces in it of things I'd like to say, but it was just a lovely little TED Talk. And the more I kind of read about the lady who gave it, the more I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. And it brought back a lot of memories for me of seeing people live the way this lady described. You know, having grown up in the Philippines, and brought back a lot of memories for me in terms of the wonder and the shock and awe that I experienced when I would come back to the United States and just see the United States. So I thought, well, we'll chat about this for a little bit. Because I think there is something in this that parallels what I'm trying to say as I get to the end of the Farforth Fables trilogy, the first trilogy. And that the cost that we bear when we pursue convenience and we pursue certainty in the future and when we pursue control, we lose something. We lose, I think, some wonder about life. We lose having unexpected things happen. We lose some of the just simple joy and excitement that there can be in life when you don't have as much convenience, and when you don't have as much certainty, and when you don't have as much control. Anyways, the name, the lady who gave the talk, her name is Tanya Luna, if I've pronounced that correctly. And the name of the talk was How a Penny Made Me Feel Like a Millionaire. And I'll just go over some of the things she's talked about, and then I'll kind of tell you a little bit more about her background and well, we'll talk about her background, but who she is now and what she's doing, because it's pretty interesting. So she talked about growing up in the Ukraine. And she tells a lot of really cute, she tells a cute story about being in the Ukraine, but if you want to hear that, you can go listen to the TED Talk. Things change when Chernobyl happens. Because after Chernobyl, she said, where they live, the rain came down black. And she said her sister's hair started falling out in clumps. And she said, I spent 9 months in the hospital. She said, and this was when she was 1 year old. And then she talked about what her mother did, and I thought, good job, Mom. You know, they're very poor. The hospital officials wouldn't let anyone come in to see this little girl. So the mom, whether you agree with this or not, I think it's pretty awesome. The mom bribes a hospital worker. She gets a hold of a nurse's uniform. And she sneaks into the hospital every night so she can sit by her child's side. And no one will be the wiser. Now, you know, maybe some people say, well, maybe she was, you know, not allowed visitors because they were trying trying to keep her disease-free and germ-free and all that kind of stuff. And maybe so. But just this idea that a mother finds a way to be with her child, I really like that idea. Anyway, she goes on to talk about the fact that being involved in the Chernobyl accident had a side effect that they weren't expecting, and that was they were granted asylum to the United States. And she said, I wasn't upset at all about leaving my home and going to the United States. She said, because of what I expected it to be. She said, I expected the United States to be a place that was filled with wonderful things like chocolate and bananas and bazooka bubble gum. She said, that bubble gum that you got, that when you opened the wrappers, there was a cartoon in the side. That bubble gum that we would only get once a year in the Ukraine. I think she said it was for Christmas. And she said we'd have to chew one piece for an entire week because it was so precious. She said, and we got to the United States, and she said we moved into a homeless shelter. She said we didn't know it was a homeless shelter. We thought it was a hotel. It was just a hotel with lots and lots of rats. I mean, I just love this because it's all about perspective. And she said, my grandmother and I found a penny on the floor. And she said, there must be a very wealthy man that left it there. Because regular people don't just lose money. She said, as I'm standing there holding this penny in the palm of my hand, it's sticky and rusty. She said, it feels like I'm holding a fortune. And she said, I decide that I'm going to get my very own piece of bazooka bubble gum. And she said, in that moment, I felt like a millionaire. You know, there is this sense of wonder. There is this sense of excitement that she's experiencing that most of the rest of us would never experience in that situation because we'd be too busy thinking how horrible our surroundings were and how sticky and grimy that penny was. We would be too busy passing judgment because we expect that we deserve more. And she said she's had that sense of wonder and excitement other times in her life. She said when later, about a year later, they found a bag of stuffed animals in the trash. And she said, suddenly I had more toys than I ever had in my life. She said she remembered another time of wonder and excitement when there was a knock at their door, and it was a pizza delivery man with a pizza. And she said, so I and my sister, we just took the pizza. And we started eating it, and it was good. She said, we never had pizza delivered because we couldn't afford it. And she said, the delivery man was saying something to us about the fact that we needed to pay. She said, but we didn't speak English. She said, my mom came out, but my mom didn't have enough money to pay because she was walking 50 blocks so she wouldn't have to ride the bus and pay the bus fare to get to work. She said, then the lady, our neighbor, comes over and realizes that immigrant family is eating her pizza. And she said everyone was upset, but the pizza was delicious. I thought it was also cute. She talked about the fact that on their 10-year anniversary in the United States, we decided to celebrate by reserving a room at the hotel that we first stayed in. She said when we got there, the man at the front desk laughed and he said, "You can't reserve your room here. This is a homeless shelter." And we were shocked. Because from their perspective, from their expectation, it was a hotel. It just was a hotel with rats. And she talks about her husband, the fact that her husband was homeless for times when he was growing up. And she talked about the little dog that they have. And for those of you who may be dog lovers, I won't describe where they got this little dog. But things that had been done to that dog were very cruel. And she said, and now, she said, our little dog eats organic food and sleeps on an orthopedic bed with her name on it. She said, but when we pour water for her in her bowl, she still looks up and wags her tail in gratitude. Again, that sense of wonder, that sense of excitement. And she said, sometimes when her husband and her walks through the park with her dog, and her dog just flops over and rolls around in the grass, and we look at her and we look at each other and we feel gratitude. And we forget about all our new middle class frustrations and disappointments, and we feel like millionaires. You know, as I was listening to this, I was thinking, okay, there's something in all of that that is exactly what I want to say. Now, when we pursue our own convenience, when we begin to expect and depend on convenience, when we pursue trying to make the future more certain and trying to acquire things so that we don't have to be concerned about what happens in the future, when we marshal people and put them under us so that they can serve us, so that we can have more and get more, when we try to control, when we do that, I think there's a hidden cost there. I haven't thought this all the way through, but I think there's a hidden cost there. And one of the hidden costs of all that is that we start losing a sense of wonder and of gratitude. Just that wonderful childlike, ooh, ooh, that we don't have to be ashamed, or it's innocent. There's this innocent quality to it. I'm still working on this, but there's something in there. What was interesting to me is, as I started doing a little research on her and started looking into who she was, because obviously she spoke articulately, which means that she had spoke very good English, some sort of background, education, yada yada. It turns out she has a business that's based on surprise, trying to encourage people to get more surprise in their life. And really, I think that translates to wonder and excitement about life. So it was kind of fun to read about her and to see what she's trying to accomplish. She did I think it was a blog post. Well, they were talking to her, and part of the questions they ask her, they ask her about, were there any surprises in your TED experience so far? And she said what was interesting was, she said she thought she was going to do a talk about surprises and not being attached to outcomes. And she said it was very ironic. She said, I found out yesterday that I wouldn't be doing a talk about surprise, that I would be telling my life story instead. So apparently, when you make application to TED, I don't know if she made application to say I can talk on any of these things, and then they made the final decision, but however it happened, she did not have the final say over what she would be talking about, which is kind of interesting. I didn't know that about TED. I'm checking my mail. One moment. So she finds out that she's supposed to do this talk on her upbringing instead of doing a talk about surprise and not being attached to outcomes. And she was taken aback by that a little bit. But then suddenly she realized, okay, the whole moral of my story was to let yourself be surprised. So I'll do this and let myself be surprised. It reminded me of writing this book, the third book, Amanda and the Cogshifting Imp, with it being about all about control and me being frustrated because the book was so out of control. It's like, yeah, well, okay, there it is. Just go with it. I'm backing into my garage. One moment. And so it was interesting because she then went on in another post on TED to talk about ways that people can get more surprise in their life. And it was fun. It was fun. Just a second. When I get moved back into my garage, I'll run through them real quick and then we'll call it a day. She was saying, commit to the mindset and the process of surprise. Decide to be a surprise-ologist. Counterintuitive as it sounds, schedule time to wander and set up reminders. Even the most exciting people need to be plucked out of their routine somehow. Get to the pot of gold on the other side of awkward. Few people follow their dreams or take positive risks because it's not because it's difficult or even scary, but because we avoid that sensation of uncertainty. That's good. Stop Googling away delight. She said, I love instant information, but I also know that seeing photos of my hotel room before I get there using Yelp to help me pick out the best dish on the menu strips my life of surprise. That's interesting. Turn your social circle into a different shape. She said, go off the grid when it comes to meeting people. I like that idea. I like to just meet people where I go. Collect sensations. She said, when was the last time you smelled and walked and tasted something new? Get lost. She said, if you always know where you're going, you'll never get someplace new. Let yourself wander mapless in an unfamiliar park or neighborhood. Schedule a yes day. Saying yes to new things can be overwhelming, so I like to dedicate one day of the week to saying yes to all new opportunities. Her day is Wednesday. So I guess if you meet her on a Wednesday, that's a good day. She said, keep a surprise opportunity log. Anytime someone mentions something they love or have always wanted to try, jot it down and put it to good use in the future. Surprising others is as much fun as surprising yourself. So fun stuff. Surprise. Surprise. Which I think, you know, boils down to this sense of wonder and sense of fascination and excitement over little things and unexpected things. Being surprised by things in a good way. Not getting all mad and grousey, but in a good way. So hopefully I'm going to take all that, kind of bundle it up and maybe use some of that when I'm working on this last speech in the book. And maybe I'll surprise myself with what's in this last speech, but I sure would like to get it done this weekend and start the read through. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.